You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 743 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
Tonight's show, we have the all-ladies lineup. Yay! We have guests. I'm here, Coach Jen. We're thrilled to have Megan McIsaac, friend of the show. She's been on before talking about bullying and setting boundaries as professionals. And then Jennifer Williams is going to join us and chit-chat a little bit about how her season in Wellington, Florida has gone. Dun, dun, dun.
This is Reese Koffler Stanfield from Wellington, Florida. And guess who's in the house tonight?
Yeah! I get to be with Reese tonight. Yay.
I know.
You are still in Wellington. Isn't this a little bit late?
Yeah, well, this is a little bit later, you know, as I'm learning as things go. Sometimes you pivot and you do I just decided this year my rent went for 4 months and I am using every day of the 4 months.
Okay. Has it stopped raining, snowing, icing in Kentucky at this point?
Well, we had terrible tornadoes, and I do want to shout out to, there were several barns in Kentucky that were devastated. And as always, we have an amazing community at home, and I was really sad that I wasn't able to go and help. There were a couple GoFundMes that were set up, and I was able to donate a little, not a lot, but definitely shouting out to those farms in Kentucky that terrible tornadoes. And they were about 20 minutes from my house, about 15 minutes from my sister's house. So it was pretty close. Like it was closer than we would like. And everybody at my house and my family's house, we were fine, but really scary. So I am hoping that is one of the reasons is the weather in the spring in Kentucky has gotten really, really different. It's very different than it used to be. You know, it'll be 75 and then go to 30. So I am hoping, and we've all seen pictures of Land Rover 3-day event with it snowing in April. So Kentucky can be pretty, pretty yucky. One of the reasons, but also,
Kentucky has significant mood swings in the spring.
Yes, especially spring and fall. So I'm avoiding that a little bit, but also just a lot of my clients are still here till the middle of April. And then we all kind of go home at the end of April. So last year I went home and I kind of sat around for 2 weeks and thought, well, why am I not in Florida for two more weeks? And it's been nice. You know, I've had some extra lessons. The weather actually down here has been lovely. So I can't complain. Like it was, you know, 78, 80 degrees today with a nice breeze. So.
Does the competition schedule let up a little bit at this point in the season?
100%. Yeah. So that
gives you that opportunity to mentally decompress a little bit and maybe get a couple of extra training rides in with your instructor. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. Yay.
It is a bonus. And I didn't really, I have my young horse and we'll talk about that today in our trainer tip a little bit. But I have, you know, a youngster down here this year and really one of the things that I did, which, and I did post it on my Facebook because I haven't had a youngster that I have been in charge of educating in a while. You know, my youngest horse, Big Mike, I've had him, he's 12 now. So I've had him for 8 years. Yes. Big Mike is I've had him 8 years, which is crazy because I'm sure you were producing around the time I got him.
I remember when you got Big Mike.
Yeah. So I've had him for 8 years. So, you know, you just forget. And I just, you know, we whip on the trailer, we go for a lesson, we have a great time, we get back on the trailer and we go home. And I forget what it's like to have a baby who, shipped from Holland in October, did the big trip down here and, you know, there's palm trees and different weather. And we did see an alligator the other day, you know, and just educating a new guy, you know, and it takes time because to get them good at that, you gotta do it. And it's just the time to do it. So, been very, very lucky that, I got to do that here. And I did, but I had to build it in my schedule. I'm like, once a week, that sucker is on the trailer.
Yeah.
And there were weeks where I was like, it's Sunday afternoon. I want to to go do something fun. And we were putting them on the trailer. So, but we were good. And so we went to our first little show. We didn't show. You'll hear about that later.
Oh, no spoilers. No spoilers.
No spoilers. Wait. Exactly. I have to wait to the trainer tip. You'll hear what happened. But it was great. So it's been good. And we are going to head home next week. And I'm going to be home for Land Rover, which is always a really good time. So I hope to if you're going to Land Rover, please reach out. Maybe we'll try and get a little meetup going on.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Kind of tell everybody where I am so I can meet you, because I love our community as always. So we've got a great show today. We're going to have a quick commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products and then get into our show.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Biotin is a B vitamin and has become commonplace in feed rooms across the world because of its reputation as an effective hoof supplement. An interesting fact that was discovered by researchers looking at biotin's impact on hoof quality was that horses with normal blood levels of biotin still had poor quality hoof horn, and that despite normal blood levels, horses responded to high doses of biotin given orally. This tells us that unhealthy hooves are not necessarily a result of a deficiency. Over the years, multiple other studies have found a statistically significant improvement in overall hoof condition when horses are supplemented with at least 20 milligrams of biotin per day. Researchers found that if improvement in hoof quality was seen within 8 to 15 months of supplementation, the horse would need to remain on biotin the rest of its life to maintain that improvement. Other nutrients such as zinc, methionine, and iodine can also affect hoof quality. A well-balanced hoof supplement will contain all of these nutrients in addition to the 20 milligrams of biotin per serving. When you're looking for an affordable, effective hoof supplement, we recommend Keraform Hoof and Coat Supplement. If you want a show ring shine and strong, healthy hooves, you can count on Keraform. You can learn more about Keraform at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, tonight I am thrilled to have Jen Williams on the line. I just had a wonderful time watching her at the 5-star. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled. We run into each other and it's been so fun to see you, because you're like my hero, because you're showing internationally and you have your family here and you have a real life. So kind of tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You've been on the podcast before, but it's been a couple years. So tell everybody about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Washington State, and about 5 years ago, I was fortunate to get a grant to come to Florida and train with Debbie McDonald. And that started a whole chain reaction of making it happen to where I could come here every year. So I spent half my year in Florida through the winter season competing. And then still we have about 6 months of the year in Washington State where the kids, you know, have our summers at Somervale, and we have a beautiful farm that we sold this past year. But we still go back and the horses get their lovely turnout and really get to enjoy a little bit cooler weather and a little bit more downtime during the summer months. And we just made it part of our lifestyle to keep coming back and competing and pushing myself to be a better rider and better trainer by coming here.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's why we all do it. You know, it's kind of the end of season. It's wrapping up here, but it's just so fun because I can literally bump into you at the grocery store, you know,
and
hear about things. And it's just, it's such an intense time. But you've had an amazing season, because I love Yopi, your international horse. My baby horse looks like him. So someday I dream he will be Yopi. So tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Yopi is just such a special guy. We got him when he was at the end of his 4-year-old year, and we instantly fell in love with him and just found so quickly that he was such a bright little student and happy to do his work and just such a joyful, wonderful personality. He's just what a blessing this guy is. We've been working together for about 5 years, as I said, and we did the six-year-old stuff. We did some of the Young Horse program pieces, and just little by little have been developing him. And I always felt very strongly that he was going to be special, and the way that he learns and the way that he tries, he just showed such great character that we were excited to, you know, keep chipping away at it. And he's quite young still at 10 years old. This is actually his second season in the Grand Prix, and our motivation and our we really want to make sure that he's just enjoying what he's doing as we get him stronger and more fit to do the best that he can do in those difficult tests.
Yeah. So difficult. And the five star, you know, again, you had to qualify to get into the five star. And I mean, that's just, it's a different ring because we all show at global and then they move us to WEF for that. So tell us a little bit about the five star, because it was so fun to see him there.
Oh, that was really exciting. And he really seems to shine in those exciting venues. Like, I have so much fun because I can always, he's a horse that I can always trust. Mm-hmm. And so he gets very excited and amped up, but he always stays with me or usually stays with me. And it was interesting because on Monday we were able to haul the horses over and school them under the lights. And then you had to go home, and then Tuesday you bring them back in for the jog. And then you're not able to see the ring again until Wednesday night in the test. So we were able to school Wednesday morning in a hunter ring, you know, half a mile away from the actual competition arena. And, you know, that's not so easy for all the horses, right? I mean, because when you're coming in now, it's full stadium, the lights are on, and it's quite electric. And I'm very proud of him. He handled that beautifully. We had a great go in the Grand Prix, and, you know, for the most part, I think a pretty mistake-free test that night. And I just came out feeling so proud of him for the effort that he put in that night.
Yeah. So cool. Because you had also done the Nations this year. I mean, you had really a great season, and that happened actually before at Global, right? So we get the
that did happen at Global. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun as well. It's always such a great experience when you can, you know, be in a team setting. My teammates were incredibly supportive, and we had some senior members, and we had some really young first Erin was her first time. She absolutely killed it. That was really exciting. And I didn't have the best goes that I was hoping for, but, you know, not as clean of tests as I had hoped for, but I came away, I felt like I learned so much from that test, and was very excited and motivated for the five star. And, you know, every test you're just learning so much information and how to manage your horse and when it's 90 degrees and how much time off in between. And it's just constant information that you're taking in and filtering. So, you know, I every time I think I got it, I learn a new lesson that tells me maybe I don't got it.
Welcome to training horses, right? I love
it. It's so true.
I think it's showing internationally or even just regionals and getting ready for the national championships. Like, it's always information, and you get better every time. It's a journey. It is not a sprint.
You just learn that lesson at a higher degree each time. I mean, I have notes from years. I'll take little takeaways from things that I've noticed or learned in lessons. And sometimes I read back and be like, I learned this lesson already. I'm learning this lesson over again. And, you know, so it's just part of the journey. And it's a journey I love being on with my partner and my horse. And, you know, we just keep building and getting better as the best we can.
I love it. Well, one of the another thing that we've talked about before, you and I, is syndicates, and Ropi is in a syndicate. You've done this a lot, right? I mean, this isn't your first syndicate, so tell us a little bit about, because having an international horse is a whole different financial ball game. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, syndication was always something I was really interested in. I wanted to figure out how. You know, it's always more fun having a team with you, you know, going, if I'm just doing the horse shows and doing everything by myself, that's not nearly as fulfilling and exciting as when you have a team alongside you, of owners that love the horse, that everybody's able, you're really able to bring them along with you to the competitions, for Nations Cup or Friday Night Lights. It's such a joyful adventure. And I have found that when you can have a group of people that all kind of are wanting the same thing and are there to be on this journey, it really elevates the whole process. And, you know, it's a very expensive sport, as we all know. I mean, I have tried to figure out ways where I can add value by doing these syndications. And in the beginning, the way that I did it was, you know, I would try to bring a horse up to a certain level and then bring in a syndicate, you know, a few buyers for the syndication, and then always felt like, okay, you know, a certain amount of time, and then we would sell the horse, and then everybody would have had a great time in that process. And then, you know, but that's kind of a sad ending sometimes when you're not always ready to sell.
So Jen, I've also had really fun journeys with my syndicates. You know, it's always different for an international rider if you have a main sponsor, right? That is always wonderful, but there's challenges with that as well. I mean, there are challenges in the sport because believe it or not, right, there is a financial component to all of this, mm-hmm. right? And especially when you get to the international game. But one mm-hmm. of the things that I have always loved with the syndicates is the journey you have together. And I think mm-hmm. that's so important to highlight. And one of the things that my syndicate, one of the owners, she comes every Thursday morning, and she was a local judge, in her past, but she still knows how to look at a center line and get a square halt. And I cannot not ride a square halt with her sitting there. She'll be like, nope, not square. But I have loved the fact that every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, we get together mm-hmm. and we go through the journey. So the Big Mike, who is his, you know, Big Mike, he has yeah. been, that has been a fun journey with that horse. We got him when he was 4 and he's 12 now. And, you know, and somebody that has loved all the shows and the ups and the downs and the ins and outs of this. And I think that is the journey and why we are all listening to this podcast and why we want to support you on your journey, because you have developed this horse. You've had him for 5 years. I feel you, girl, as a 4-year-old, you know, feeling all of it. Like yeah. I'm there, I'm at that end now. And I think that's what we all need to help support riders. Like yourself, like myself, I mean, I'm going to say it, like me, you know, this is how yeah. now we can, it does help the financial part, but it is so fun. And I think that's the thing.
It's so true. I mean, we started with Yopi at the end of his 4-year-old year, and we had one owner. And then as we developed him for, maybe a year and a half, you know, we went to the 6-year-old finals and he was reserved there. And we had another close friend that had been in my life for years, really just was so interested and so supportive. And then she wanted to become a partner into the syndicate, into the partnership. It's Yopi Partners LLC. That's how we've formed it. It's a 2-person partnership. And then I am a part owner as the rider. So the way that we've worked it out is the 2 partners handle the financial aspect, and I contribute the riding aspect and the management and and taking care of all of the QuickBooks and the managing of getting the taxes done at the end of the year. And that has worked beautifully for 5 years. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's come to a point where, you know, to stay at this level and travel and be in Florida, that we are going to be looking into ways of opening it up to see if we can find other participants that want to be a part of this journey with us and move forward to the next leg of his career, you know, because he's a very young right. horse, and I think he could be at a high level sport for a very long time. And mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. is something that we are talking about now. And, you know, and some people get into it for different reasons. Some folks have gotten into partnership with me and we've developed a really talented horse for a certain amount of time is what they're comfortable for, or with, and then we say, okay, you know, when the horse is Grand Prix and 10 years old, then this is the timing to sell. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, I want to be a part of this horse's life until he's retiring into our field, you know, at the end. And that's exactly what happened with Milione. We had him going at a very high level from 13 to 20 years old, which was so amazing.
It's amazing.
And, amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. And he's still, you know, working in a fun way at the owner's basic retirement. But, you know, we want to keep him going because he's so healthy and fit. I feel like if they just go sit in the field, they get a little older, a little quicker. Yep. So he's doing what he loves to do. And that worked really well for them.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jen, you've been so generous with your time. How can people, if you're interested in becoming a partner or working with Jen or you know, want to help a rider, I think all of us are happy to answer questions or help in any way we can. How can our listeners find you online?
Oh, well, we have a website, SummerValePremierDressage.com, and I'm also on Facebook with the same name and also under Jennifer Williams Dressage. So certainly can hit me, you know, get me on either of those, and through the website is a great way to connect, and I think my phone number is on there as well.
I love it. And this horse is pretty amazing. And Jen has made many, many amazing horses. And she's also an amazing person. So I just think this is the way in the future of our sport.
And I think it allows more people to be involved and enjoy this beautiful sport that we get to be a part of.
Exactly. Well, I wish you luck again. I have a picture of your horse, and my little horse is going to look like your horse one day. And I want to look like you and ride like you. So, Jen, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Well, Glenn here, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning. One of the top requested segments we've gotten from listeners is about trailers and trailer safety. And Brad Heath from Double D Trailers has done an amazing job helping us with a 5-part series on trailers. Brad is the owner of Double D Trailers with over 25 plus years experience in horse trailer manufacturing in the equestrian industry. If you missed the first 4 parts, you can find them at horseradionetwork.com/trailer. We've cut them out there, made them very simple for you to just listen to one right after another. You can go there to do that. And we've gotten some really, really good feedback. Apparently, our listeners like you, Brad, so you're approved.
Awesome. Thanks for having us, Glenn. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot.
Well, we've learned a lot, too, from you, and we want to thank you for that. And in this final segment, we're going to talk about what I thought would be the perfect thing to end with, and that's shopping for horse trailers, new versus used. And let's start with used trailers. What are some of the ideal situations for a used horse trailer?
Well, I think for a new horse owner in particular, perhaps, you know, you purchased a horse for one of your kids or you're new to trail riding or showing, you're just an entry level, not sure if you're going to like it, not sure how long you're going to stay in it. I think looking for a well-built, safe, functional, huge trailer, there's always budget restrictions, you know, the type of vehicle you're towing with. So quite a bit to consider. But yeah, I would think a new horse owner that's just unsure of how long they're going to stay in it, maybe used would be the way to go.
Or somebody with budget restrictions, you know, they just can't afford a new one right now and they need that horse trailer. But when you go to look for, and I've bought a few used horse trailers in my lifetime. So when you go to look for them, what are you looking at? Are there the points that you should absolutely look at and make sure that you check out?
Well, I think used will follow some of the same thought process that we use on new trailers or custom build, for example, really just identifying the need that you have. Are you hauling 1, 2, or 3 horses or even more? You know, we'll have clients, we say, how many horses do you need to haul? And they'll say, 2 to 3. And I'm like, well, do you need to haul 2? Or do you need to haul 3? Because you're not going to fit 3 in a 2-horse. Do you plan to sleep at night? If so, you know, do you need a gooseneck? And do you have a pickup truck to tow that with?
And, you know, one of the things we've learned as far as condition is obviously taking a look at the condition, pull the mats up everywhere. take a look under the mats, and you know, and then also crawl under the trailer. See what you see. Are you seeing any rust anywhere? You know, providing it's, you know, not completely aluminum. But the other thing too is the tires. Are you going to need new tires? Are they dry rotted on the edges? You know, that's usually they'll be dry rotted. We talked about that last episode. They'll be dry rotted before they're ever worn out tread wise. And then does it have valid paperwork and a title? I cannot tell you how many of these horse trailers we talk about on our really bad ad segment where they don't have paperwork.
Yeah, we'll start out with condition. You know, quick story. I traded for brand whatever back in the early 2000s, sight unseen, other than pictures from the customer. They ordered a new trailer. We built it, delivered it in Georgia, picked up the used, brought it back, and hosed it down, really, you know, spit shined it, cleaned it up, and we're just going to take some pictures to put it on our website before it went to the shop for inspection on lighting and things like that. And man, when I pulled the mats back, my heart sank because I could see the ground, and it was an aluminum floor. The trailer was only about 7 years old, and I wouldn't have thought that, you know, it had oxidized and it literally just rusted out. So obviously the customer had never pulled the mats out, and they probably didn't even have a clue that it looked like that. So those are things that when purchasing a used trailer, if it's coming from a dealership, that would be my recommendation, especially if this is your first trailer, because at least the dealer can sort of give a warranty with it, say, hey, we've inspected the bearings. The date codes on the tires look good. You do or you do not need new tires. We've checked all the lighting, the breakaway system. You know, we've crawled under it and made sure that none of the welds were broken. That's something that you'll see a lot on an aluminum frame trailer, is a broken weld versus the steel frame. You know, you may see some rust occurring there. So depending on the age of the trailer, but all of the things that you mentioned, definitely a factor. As far as paperwork and title, you know, it's funny to me. I can sell a trailer in the year 2024, and then 2030, the customer calls me back and they say, hey, did you ever send the title to us on the trailer? And, you know, what do I do? And so, you know, some states don't actually require a title, or they don't require a plate or something on the trailer. And if you're, I think South Carolina may be one of those states. So if you're buying from a state that might have a different title requirement than what yours does, you can definitely run into some issues. So what happens in those states where they don't require title or they don't require license is on a new trailer, the customer, they will take the certificate of origin, which is the document that looks like a title, but it's from the manufacturer. You don't actually get a title until you go to your DMV and give them money. You got to pay them sales tax. That's when they give you a title. And they'll take that certificate of origin, they'll throw it in a safe, and then 10 years later, when they're ready to sell the trailer, they think they can just pull it out and assign it to the new owner. And that's not the case. What you can run into is, you know, if you're trying to title a trailer in North Carolina and you purchase it from South Carolina and it's a certificate of origin, you're actually going to have to pay to have it titled in South Carolina first, and then you can get that title, bring it to North Carolina, and then retitle to yourself. And oftentimes, you know, it may be an estate where someone passed away, and it can really just get into a mess.
Very good. And then the other two things I can think of right off the top is make sure the jack works. It's an electric jack or a hand jack, doesn't matter. And then the other thing too, and this is having had to rewire a couple old trailers in my lifetime, which by the way is not a fun job, make sure the lights work. You know, so that's the other thing. Plug it in and, you know, make sure that they work, because a lot of times they don't, and you have to be prepared for the nightmare of rewiring your trailer. So there's just some good things to think about when you're doing used. Now let's talk about a brand new horse trailer.
New trailers, you know, there's lots of choices, lots of manufacturers. We have a very, I think, a fragmented market. You know, it's not like automobiles where you have Ford, Chevy, Dodge, just not that many manufacturers. But when it comes to horse trailers, there are a plethora. So plenty of choices, and everyone has their own spiel as to why they're the best and this and that. We don't necessarily get into preaching, oh, ours is, you know, what we do is just the best and everything else is a piece of junk, because that's not the case. But we do try to educate folks that are looking to purchase a new trailer on things that they should consider and why they should consider it. Based, for example, the construction of material. What do you want? Well, most folks want something that is lightweight, it doesn't rust, and, you know, it's very strong, and their aluminum accomplishes that. But aluminum also has some properties that make it not so friendly for a horse. You know, it's a great conductor of heat. You stretch a mill finish over the roof of a trailer, and boom, you've got a solar panel baking your horse. So, you know, things like that, and even small things, padding, tubular dividers, so the horse can see through and, you know, light can come through, and it reduces claustrophobia. So a lot of what we do, is, again, education on things to look for, from construction material to the type of flooring that you use. And we point out the pros and cons of different methods that are out there. Configurations, does it have a rear tack, and can you get the thing out of the way? And if you've got a horse that's difficult to load, you know, most trailers out there with a rear saddle compartment, they will collapse. So you can move the walls out of the way and open up the whole back of the trailer if you've got a hard loader. The problem is you're holding a lead rope in one hand, the horse is pulling back, and all of a sudden, you've got to clean out the tack compartment just to collapse the thing. So, you know, that's not a good solution either. And when you're doing a custom build, you know, we're also laser focused on the tow vehicle. You know, we've done some segments on that, and just making sure that what we are drawing out and what we are planning to build on paper, that tow vehicle is capable of towing that, and that it's safely rated to tow that. And so that's a big thing. We have a lot of friction. You'd be surprised on folks that, you know, I just purchased a 2024 brand, whatever, the latest and greatest, and then they find out that it has a tongue weight rating of 750 pounds, and they want to tow a two-horse bumper pull for warm bloods that has an 1,100-pound tongue rating, and the thing won't do it.
Also, what's a typical factory warranty from, and what's yours and what's the typical?
Most manufacturers, if you read the fine print, it's going to be a one-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, maybe 2 years, depending on what brand it is, and then they'll advertise some really large number for 10-year warranty or 8-year warranty. That number is most often related to only the structure of the trailer. You know, maybe if it's an aluminum trailer, and I think where that came about is, you know, way back in the day when they started building aluminum and probably didn't know exactly, you know, the best method for putting everything together, you would see welds break. And we see some of that today, but not as much. And so aluminum trailer manufacturers, they really started pushing those warranties out. But again, it just relates to the main structure. So like a back structural post, maybe the roof rail that runs around the perimeter. But the things that actually break, the lights and the wiring and the door hinges and, you know, all of the little components, the non-structural, that's what you need to pay attention to, particularly on a living quarter. I mean, I see units that are out there manufactured, they're $150,000 and they have a 8-year warranty, and you read the fine print and it's 12 months on the living quarter.
And so, we just had our living quarters in to get $1,000 worth of work on it. So, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't take
so
long.
Anyway, I think warranties are often only as good as the people that you're buying it from.
That's the end of our 5-part series. If they want to order a trailer for you, what do they do?
Yeah, jump on our website, doubledtrailers.com. There's right on the homepage, you click here to start or click to design your trailer and just go through the process. It's self-explanatory. You can actually build one out and price one out online. And just submit that over and we'll take it from there.
But there, I mean, you're also available. If they want to, before they do that, they need to get some questions answered, talking to you is not a problem.
Not at all. We schedule discovery calls where someone may be looking to purchase and they haven't done a build out online yet. We like doing the Zoom calls because, I can't show you a floor plan or a picture or anything else on the telephone. Whereas if I can captivate your attention on a screen of some sort, where I can show you drawings and dimensions and all of this other supporting material and actually walk you through step by step on how to do things. So that seems to work much better. Folks really appreciate the more personal service than, just talking on the telephone. But yeah, absolutely. You can schedule with us right through our website, and we'll hop on a call and answer all the questions. We've got guys here that love to talk about horse trailers.
Plus, you have a podcast?
We do have a podcast, the Double D Trailers podcast, and I'm learning a lot, meeting a lot of really cool people in the industry. We talk about things that are far from having anything to do with horse trailers, but all related to horses and, from chiropractic to training, rodeos, vaulting, equestrian vaulting, which I didn't know what that was. So just a lot of smart people that we've worked with, and jump on that podcast. I think you enjoy it.
All right, very good. And if you want to hear the past episodes that we have done, this is a total of 5 now. As I said, you can find them at horseradionetwork.com/trailer. Brad, thank you so much for doing this for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Glenn, and thanks to everyone listening. We really appreciate the time.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have friend of our show, Megan McIsaac. She is a USDF certified instructor through 4th level, bronze, silver, and gold medalist. Megan, welcome back to the show.
Yay! Thank you for having me, Reese. It's always so much fun.
I know. We haven't had you in a while, and it's just you always brighten our day when you come on. And I know the listeners are thinking the same as well. But Megan, we are actually going to talk a little bit tonight about a serious topic, and Jen is going to join us because she has also been a trainer and a barn manager.
It's the all girls dressage episode this week. Yay us.
I know, an all girls episode. High five, ladies. I love it.
Woo!
Megan, we're going to talk a little bit about something that happened to you, and not going into complete specifics of the bullying event, but let's just kind of set the stage a little bit, because I think it's worth talking about, because you are wonderful. You're a good friend of mine, and I've known you for decades. And this really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I felt like the three of us could have a pretty good conversation about it. So I'm going to let you get started with it.
Sure. I think to start out, I think it was best because it wasn't the first time it's happened.
Yes,
and
right.
So I received a kind of a nasty email from someone I have no idea who did. They didn't put their name on it. And it was Monday morning. And maybe that's why they tell us not to check our email first thing in the morning. Yeah. And I did. And I opened this email and I was like, whoa, is this real? And then I laughed. And then I had my fiance read it, and it was pretty nasty. It was like, I have all my horses have names, and my current Frisian in training, I call her Baby Horse.
Yes, and Baby Horse. I love Baby Horse.
Yeah.
I've loved watching Baby Horse's journey.
Yeah. And she's still a baby to me. She'll always be a baby. And, this particular individual wrote me and said, she's not a baby anymore. Don't call her a baby. And then even took the time to send me a chart on human age of our horses, which, thank you, I already know. And then went on, because in my advertising, I write, I'm a world-class trainer, and I am. And
yes, you are.
I've made a lot of horses, and really, what does it matter, but they proceeded to tell me, who did I think I was? I'm not a world-class trainer. Where have I competed? Blah, blah, blah. And it's pretty hurtful. And, So luckily for me, I was training in California and I got to see my coach, Kathleen Rain, and we talked about it, and it was nice to, you know, have my mentor there and discuss it. And then I proceeded through the day to think about it, which is what I normally do. And normally I wouldn't do anything. The last time this happened to me, I actually had an anonymous letter written to my owner of the horse and to a committee of the Midwest Horse Fair, but not to me. And actually said I was abusive for riding a pregnant mare, and just went on all these details. And it was very hurtful. I mean, that someone would even think that about me. I love horses. I've created my whole life around horses. I dedicate most of my day to horses.
Your life to horses. Yes.
Yeah, my life to serve horses. And it was devastating to me. It was, I don't know, 15 years ago. So I was much younger. And I was riding in this Saturday night performance, and luckily the producer called and said, "Hey, what do you think about your mare? Is she ready?" And I said, "Yeah, she is. She's amazing." And he goes, "Well, I believe in you if you believe in your horse." And that's all I needed to hear. But I thought about that, and I thought about the young trainers in our country. And I thought, wow, what if one of them received this email and they're not, you know, confident and fully developed in their system? And it would be, it's devastating. And so I decided to screenshot it. Also, it's a way for me to communicate to the individual that I won't tolerate that.
Right.
You know, it was my response. I actually did not email them back. I screenshotted it and shared it with the world, and they never contacted me again, which is great. But it's just not needed. This training, our lifestyle, we work so hard for our horses, and it's not a 9-to-5. And we are our hardest critic, in my opinion. There's no one harder on myself. I don't need someone helping me. in that. So that's why I shared it with the world, because I think us as trainers should not tolerate it anymore. That's my belief.
Right? No. Well, and you just happen to have a friend with a podcast. You know, I also saw this, and I just thought this is so wrong, and it really shouldn't be tolerated. And I also wanted to get the message out, because truly, if this person doesn't want to train with you, that's fine. Go somewhere else. That's no problem. But like you said, you, myself, we have many, many friends now where we were chit-chatting. I mean, we did Young Riders together, and we're both in our 40s. So we have known each other a long time, and how devastating that is. And it truly is. And you know, I think on some level, having the podcast, it was one of the things I had to learn. I don't get nasty emails very often. Most of the time, our community is absolutely phenomenal. But in the beginning, I had to learn what that was. And I just thought, just don't listen. If you don't like the show, that's okay. Just don't listen. Or you don't like my training, just don't listen. But to take it to this level, was when I really felt like I wanted to bring it up and talk about it. And I think, and Jen, I want to loop you in too, because you've also been part, you've done all the things as well, and just thought, cause you hadn't heard this story yet, and just wanted your thoughts on it.
I've done all the things, and I have not heard the story yet, but like most people, I have been the target of someone's angst, anger, venom over the years. And it's very, from my point of view, it's very much a case of how the individual who is being targeted is able to process the attack. From my point of view, the attacker, the aggressor in the situation, has to look inside themselves to fix the problem. Whatever is causing these attacks on others, they have to look in themselves to fix it. The the person being attacked has no effect at all on the fixing. We can make the problem worse by emailing them back.
Yeah.
Feeding into it.
Yeah.
Feeding into it. We can make the problem worse, but we can't fix that person. So learning how to process it, and everybody has to process it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I used to get very angry and take it very personally. Yes. I learned early on not to respond, but what I did instead was just internalize it and carry a lot of anger around myself, which is not constructive either.
No.
No.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. And in some situations, particularly now because of the nature of our world now, our universe is now a public forum. There's no such thing as a conversation behind closed doors anymore, which in some ways is good, but in many ways is not. Mm-hmm. So sometimes a response is required. And this is where, Reese, you are well equipped considering what your degree is in.
Which is diplomacy, everybody. That's the joke.
There you go.
Yes.
Learning how to appropriately address situations to help diffuse, not necessarily that person's personal angst, but the wider audience. Because like you said, you you posted a screenshot of that email. But how you as the target respond to people who are supporting you will also have an effect on our very public universe now. And that's a very, very narrow road to walk.
Yes.
So I don't envy anybody who gets in that situation. So it's just, and that whole, I'll walk away from a bully. That's just oversimplifying a very complex emotional situation, because these things are emotionally based.
I think to add to that, you know, like the attacker, obviously it is a reflection on what they're feeling. It's not about me. However, I'm receiving that emotion, and then therefore now I have emotions, and that's the time the attacker should have that discussion. You know, I do think even though we have a public, lifestyle, we should be able to have difficult conversations. I think that's truly important. So then it wouldn't come to this, you know, and just think if I was younger, I mean, there are teenagers that are being bullied on the internet. And I actually had a previous working student that for 6 months, every time I would post, she would post on my post, right? And say these awful things. And then 6 months later, she apologized, you know. But if I was a teenager, I mean, people are committing suicide. This is a serious, serious thing. And those conversations should be dealt with. And we should be able to teach people how we should be treated, right? You know, we ride the horses the way we want them to be ridden. It's the same with people, in my opinion, that is a boundary that should never have been crossed, and no one should come with hate. And being able to discuss those boundaries with our clients, I think is important, and as well as family and friends. So I wish we could have those conversations before it comes to anger.
Right. Right. Well, and that you brought up something really interesting that I wanted to just talk about too, is boundaries. And I think, again, that is with your trainer and potentially fellow barnmates, or however you want to put it. But for sure, trainers, I have an 8-8 rule. I don't text before 8 or after 8. Obviously, except if it's an emergency, right? That's different. Or, you know, if you're at a competition, right? And I was thinking this, I have the same with my coach, right? If I am calling him late, there's a real reason to do it. I've worked with him for 10 years. I've only done it once. And he did pick up the phone, and it was something I needed to talk to him about. It was during a CDI, and I, you know, needed to talk to him. But I try to be very respectful of his time, and I feel like my students are the same with me. And I do feel like, you know, if it's a veterinary emergency, you need to call a veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian. I also I do have boundaries. If I have a horse that's looking really quite sick or looks like it could colic at 5 o'clock, I'm going to send it into the clinic because I'm not a hospital. Yep. I'm a trainer. You know, I think that, again, that is important to have those boundaries of, and those are just some that I have. I live at my farm, and I think you do also.
Yep.
And, you know, we both have fiancés or husbands and fiancés that are not into horses. And I think it's really important for me that really after 5 o'clock, I mean, I have strict barn hours, and every barn's a little bit different on that. My barn, my house is attached to my barn. And, you know, again, I like, for example, I do the podcast. So I really don't like anybody riding when I'm doing the podcast because I need to focus on this or whatever it may be. So I have some pretty strict boundaries on that as well. And I really try to let people know when they want to come to my barn. I literally write it out so that they understand. And if that schedule doesn't work for them, no problem, no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. I have other places that they can go where, you know, if you need to ride late, no problem. Like ride at this barn and I come there once a week or whatever. So I do try to line those up. And it's not that I am perfect or my staff's perfect, but I do think it's important to have those boundaries. And if your trainer doesn't, and I think, again, you and I are more getting a little more senior. You can see it in my wrinkles.
be quiet. You're a child.
But I think it is important, right, to have those. And are there any that you have that maybe I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. You know, I think the hard line is our wonderful clients and students, this is their hobby and this is our business that we live at. And so I think it's hard for them, especially when there's boarding facilities that they can go to at any hour. So my barn is actually run like a doctor's office. And so they all have their own riding slot time. And so they have an hour before and an hour after. Otherwise, they can't be here. And same thing with I ride horses in the morning. So that way I can stay focused. Also, I'm not interrupted. You know, people are paying me for me to ride their horse. And so I can't be answering questions from another client. That is their hour to ask those questions. And so I may even be stricter in that manner. Also, all the rides are supervised by myself or other instructors because it's a huge liability. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's very important to me. Also, like with texting and email, I might take your idea 8 to 8, I think, but I'm not that great either because I am senior too and I forget. And so I'm sitting, at 8 o'clock and I'll write a text, but I'm very clear with my vet that I have said, I never expect you to answer until you're ready. I will forget. And we've had that conversation. I think that's where those conversations are so important. What is our working relationship? And clients should want to know. It's not just us creating the boundaries. Like I think, you know, as a team, we work together, right? We take a huge risk in owning a farm and our clients are guests at our facility. And if they don't understand that, they shouldn't be in our program. And, but we can't have the life we have without them. So it has to be, you know, a beautiful team that respects each other both ways. Yeah. So, and same thing with my vendors. So I think boundaries are really important and it's very eye-opening. Again, this is where I appreciate being senior. I just don't care anymore. These are my rules.
When we've been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're a young trainer listening to this, reach out to Megan and I. We have been there. We all of us and Jen too, we all have stories of why we have these boundaries. And
you have to protect your business and your mental health because you are when you're self-employed, which most horse trainers are, they don't have a boss above them. That's the buck stops there. And I have been self-employed for most of my life. Mm-hmm. You need to protect those barriers for your own mental health. Otherwise, you can't run your business profitably, but you also will not be able to stay sane. Yeah. Quite yep. literally.
Like literally. Yeah. yeah.
Quite
yeah.
literally. And
for sure.
two of the things that I thought of when you were talking about these things, controlling expectations mm-hmm. of your mm-hmm. clients and those are, and your family, mm-hmm. because that whole under promise and over deliver kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. also making it clear, and this is something that I had to develop a skill for because by nature I'm a little bit abrasive. I did not study diplomacy.
sometimes they teach you to be a little abrasive. Let me just tell you.
There's time for that. Providing that information to not just our clients, but potential clients, former clients, friends of clients, perfect strangers, controlling those expectations in a way that is easily digestible.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that we do not inadvertently raise hackles simply by presenting information in a way that's like, oh, that didn't come out the way I thought it would. And I'm good at that.
Yeah, sure.
I'm great at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. My mother can give a tour at my farm and everyone will always sign up. I give a tour. No one calls back.
Yeah. You're like, Mom gives the tour.
Mumsy gives the tour.
Yeah. She's the best. She's so good. But no, I think that's part of it. And I do think that this, if you even just listen to this conversation and maybe just pull your trainer aside and say, hey, listen to this podcast, just make, let's check on the boundaries or whatever. And if you are the trainer and you need some advice, Megan and I are here, but I'm not always perfect. Trust me.
No,
I'm not always we're always working on it. But I think that, having those talking about it, don't do it when your trainers, that's the other thing. If I look busy, I probably am, or if I'm in the middle of the day or I'm literally running in to grab a cup of coffee and use the restroom, not a great time to grab me. You know, if you want to grab me and talk to me, it is, there are ways to do that. And set an appointment. You can always send an email. That's good too. Of like, hey, I want to put this down on paper. Don't expect you to answer, but I like Megan was saying, I want to get it to you. And that's always good. So I think there's ways to do it.
The expectations, and you got to remember that the person who is reaching out to you to have a conversation is most likely struggling just as much as you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's a popular meme. You don't know what that person's internal battles are.
Yes.
Nope.
So to turn up the notch a little bit on my empathy is something I try to do. It's okay. I think that's crazy, stupid, weird, irritating. This is a bad time, etc. And I tend to give out that vibe of being unapproachable because that's my nature. I have to keep reminding myself, and it's continuous because it's my nature to be that way. It's not a case of, I'm just going to be better. No, it's a constant and will be constant for my whole life.
Yeah.
To be aware that I need to be more welcoming of those types of conversations or those approaches.
Yes.
Because the person who wants to approach me may well be terrified to, and I'm completely oblivious.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me.
Then you set up that downward spiral of the person who is afraid to approach you feels like you are intentionally unapproachable. When in fact, in most cases, we're not.
Yeah.
We're just overworked.
We're whatever, overworked or wrong time or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was porcupine in a former life. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But no. I think that is really a very valid point. And, we could really talk about this forever, but, I do think that there's also just be kind and remember that now specifically, I think horse trainers, we're all really busy. Actually, I know a lot of people that, after COVID, our business really shot up, which was wonderful. And I'm very, very lucky mm-hmm. for that. And we're trying our best. At the end of the day, we're trying. And you, Megan, like myself, you're working hard on your fitness. You're out you know, it's a lot of time and energy to move your business for several months to go work with someone. Like that's,
yeah,
it's really difficult. It's very expensive. And, you know, we're out here trying to get better, you know, I'm down in Wellington trying to get better. You know, and so I think, again, you know, being kind and empathetic, there's lots of things, but be kind. And if you don't want to work with someone, great. Don't work with me.
Don't
go work
with
someone
them.
Else. Like, go ahead.
Yeah,
that's fine. Go ahead. So, well, Megan, you are always wonderful. So can you tell everybody how they can find you online to see your amazing program? Because you have an amazing program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Reese. It's always a pleasure. You can find me at lindenhof.com. I'm also on Facebook under Lindenhof Equine Sports Centrum. So any form, feel free, contact me if you have any questions. That was the big thing. I was really surprised that how many people private message me. I am more than happy to give support to anyone working alongside me in the trenches. We all need to work together.
Absolutely. Now, Megan, thank you so much as always.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with Fly Predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, Spalding-labs.com.
Well, Jen, I love the Spalding fly predators. So I have a great story. Yeah, I have a great story about them. And you were around when this happened, but during the World Equestrian Games in 2010 in Kentucky, they had downtown like another vendor village. Mm-hmm. And my husband came. You guys may have been with us. I don't remember. Or we were coming to see you
we
guys.
We were down there. You were coming down to visit us. I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
We came to visit you guys and we were walking around and we had just moved to the farm because we opened the farm in 2010. A couple weeks before the World Equestrian Games. And we had a drought and the worst flies I swear we have ever had, right? Because the horses were new there. There had been cows there. You know, it was awful. And my husband, who is not a farm boy, was literally, he had moved to hell. Like he was like, these flies, this is not going to work. So we're walking around or he went for a walk or something. I probably was hanging out with you guys and he comes literally running back, pulling me to the booth of Spalding Fly Predators. And he's like, we have got to get these. So I will be honest. We have had them since 2010. I am a loyal consumer of them before I worked for Equine Network and Horse Radio Network.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love them. And we don't have them here in Florida. And next year I'm ordering them for in Florida. Cause it's not acceptable.
No,
like, I can't.
You need them.
Yeah. Yeah. We need them. They are great. So if you have another problem and you need marriage counseling with fly predators, they're for you.
Next best thing.
It helped us. So, yes, a wonderful product. So highly endorse them. Well, we also have a great trainer tip from Megan McIsaac. She stayed and hung out with us. So we hope you enjoy. Well, Megan, thanks for sticking around today because we wanted to grab you for a trainer tip of the week. So what do you have for us?
Woohoo! My trainer tip is when you are struggling, it doesn't matter if it's your position, your horse, the environment, look inward. Always look inward. So if you're working on position, maybe think about working out, Pilates, yoga. You know, you don't have to do what I do. If it's your horse and maybe your horse is tense and spooking, it might actually be you. So just take a deep breath, slow it down, and enjoy the ride. That's my trainer tip.
I love it. I think it's so true. You know, I think it is a lot of times the rider that has the anxiety. And there are mm-hmm. other ways, like you said, you can do yoga, you can do Pilates. There are sports psychologists. We have done segments here on the podcast on, there are great books and resources out there. You can even just Google sports psychologist podcast,
yeah.
Since we're all into podcasts. There's a lot of resources now. And you know, if you need a sports psychologist, you can call one up and they're very, very helpful for a mm-hmm. lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I've just stepped back.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And yeah. I agree. Cause I say that for myself, you know, sometimes you're like, the ones are coming. The ones are coming, for example, that's me.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess up. I know my right hip, move your right hip, you know, and my brain gets going a million miles an hour. And then I just forget to move my other leg. And I'm like, oh, huh. I'm moving my right leg, but I ain't moving my left leg.
It is so hard, especially at competitions. It is so hard to be. And it's a great phrase, be in the moment. It's a, yeah. Well, what yeah. the hell does that mean, right? Being in the moment. And a couple of years ago, I took my horse, who is not a good show horse. He's just Mr. Anxious, to his first little putt-putt dressage show. And he was quite literally like riding a hand grenade that had the pin pulled.
Yeah.
The whole day. The minute I put my foot in the stirrup, he was that horse. And I was really miffed about it. I was very upset. I was very tense. Because we had practiced really hard at home. And we had. I really felt like we could put out a good performance. We were doing walk, trot. But I was so proud. Because we had it. He was forward and he was straight and he was through and he was all the things. Even though we were always doing walk, trot. And then he turns out to be this powder keg when we get there. And at some point during my 2.5 hours of warm-up, I just sat back and said, you know, it is what it is.
Yes.
Being upset about it is not going to change it one bit.
Yeah.
My attitude is not going to improve it. Might make it worse, but it's certainly not going to make it better. So just little missy, set your you-know-what attitude aside and ride the horse that's under you this very second. Yep. And when we trot down the center line at A, if coming to a walk and doing 2/3 of the test at a walk and getting a lot of zeros is what it takes to keep him quite literally taking flight.
Yeah.
Fine. But then he'll get to the end of that test and say, oh, it wasn't so bad, versus I'm going to make you trot and you're going to do this test. He'll get to the end of it and say, see, Mom, I told you it would suck.
Yeah. Did you see? No, I think that's such a good thing. And you know, I'm back in baby horsedom. I literally said to my coach the other day, to Scott Hessler, I said, you know, we were literally just with a different horse in the CDI ring, right? And dealing with CDI ring troubles. And now I have a 4-year-old. And Jen, we went to a little horse show. And I have to be honest, I had already kind of said, this is going to be what it's going to be. I couldn't find the times online. There was a Facebook page that I didn't know about. And I was, you know, I was like, okay, all right, here's the thing.
It was a cluster before you got there, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I'm going to go around lunchtime. And it actually worked out great. I was able to prepare my horse. And then the judge stepped out for lunch and it was a schooling show. It wasn't a rated show. And I said to the ring stewardess, can I just go in the main ring and ride my test? She said, well, you know, you can come back at 2:30. And I was like, I can't, like, for many reasons, I couldn't. I had to go to another barn in the afternoon and I couldn't. I said, thank you so much, but I obviously didn't get the memo about the times, you know, but could I just go in the ring and just ride my test? And it was perfect because Jen, we were there. We had to do some circles and we had to do some walks and we looked at some dogs and we jumped at something that I'm not sure what it was. And it actually worked out better that I
You got to the end. And the horse had a positive experience.
Yeah, so did I.
Yep.
Not what you expected to happen for the day.
Not at all.
If you can get back into the horse trailer and stop at McDonald's French fries on the way home and say, something positive came out of it from the horse's point of view.
French fries.
It was a win.
I didn't get the memo. I did not get the French fries. Next time.
French fries.
Oh, I didn't get, that would have been great. But you're absolutely right. And then it did turn out to be a successful day. So I agree. I think look inward, you know, take a deep breath, you know. There are a number of riders right now going for the Olympics. I am not one of them. So, you know, I am getting a 4-year-old in the trailer and going to ride at a local park. Which is important, but.
It's been so much fun having you on, Megan. The next time you come on, I want you to have prepared your most favorite cluster at a horse show. I want to hear it because it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fabulous.
God, I try to forget them because I'm working on my mindset. Like all I think about is what's going to happen. I'll think about that. Let me think about that.
Love it.
We want to hear it. It's going to be epic. And if you laugh about it, it makes it better.
makes it better.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be laughing, girl. I'm definitely laughing.
I love it. Well, Megan, if you can, once again, tell everybody how they can find you online and where they can find all your information.
Yeah, of course. Again, thank you so much for having me on. It was a blast. You can find me at lindenhoff.com. That's my website. Otherwise, I'm always on Facebook under Megan McIsaac. I try to be a little bit more personable. And then Lindenhoff Equine Sports Centrum is my farm training, and we have a riding academy.
Well, Jen, just so everyone knows, we have a book club book rocking and rolling right now.
Really?
Yes, we're bringing it back. We're really excited about it. And it is The Horse in Positive Tension by Stefan Stamer. And you can find it at horseandriderbooks.com. So once again, The Horse in Positive Tension, Stefan Stamer, Harnessing Equine Kinetic Energy for Top Performance. So I am reading it. My goal is to actually have it read before I go home. So I have a week to read it, but it's actually really quite good. And I've been enjoying it. So a lot about motion and how horses work. So I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Woohoo! Everybody grab yourself a copy.
Grab yourself a coffee. And as always, feel free to send me an email if you need me. And you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com. And my email, if you need to reach me, is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
Dun, dun, dun. And everybody knows where I'm at. JenniferHorseRadioNetwork.com. I'm in charge of complaints and really badass. There we go. It's been a lot of fun hanging out with you today,
Reese. This has been so much fun, Jen. Thanks for coming on with me. And as always, we want to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Fly Predators, and Double D Trailers. And if you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the Auditor Page program found at horseradionetwork.com. As always, from the stable to the show ring, from the first halt to the last, dream big, everybody, and we look forward to our next show.